The human being, when Allah Ta'ala gives the tawfiq, the ability to the human being, that Allah allows him to recite great, lofty kalamat, statements, verses, du'as, then those kalamat, they impact his ruh, his soul, and his heart. They affect him, whether he likes it or not, whether he understands it or not. But the kalamat, the meanings, the impact of those kalamat, they start to affect the person. And then further, to improve that, to further those impacts, that's a different topic. How to maintain that? How can you increase it, strengthen it?
How to maintain it? That's a different thing. But immediately, anybody who is willingly or not willingly reciting the kalmat, must he had the effect of this dham. But we don't accept this thing. That's why many people don't do that thing.
Why? Because the waswasa of shaitan, when he whispers to us, he influences us negatively. Always the individual, when he's doing good actions, then shaitan weakens our aqeedah and belief in the impact of those deeds. Just like I said to you, that, for example, let's say I say to you, here's a £100 note. If you go to the shops, you'll buy everything. You'll have the confidence and belief that, oh yes, £100. Definitely I've got the money now, I can go and buy what I want.
And you're happy for that. You feel that you have something. You feel the difference yourself, because you've got that £100, you can spend it, you can buy the stuff for your things. It increases your confidence, the value of your thinking.
So shaitan, what does he do? That the believer, when he's reciting so valuable kalima, like we're reciting La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minadh dhalimeen. If you look at the history of this kalima, what is this kalima? What's the meaning of this kalima? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about it? What do the hadith say about it? What does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about it? And the way it's told to us in the Quran. Then all these things, when you research that, then the human being, the believer, he understands, oh yes, I've got a great resource here. I'm reciting this kalima.
And that was the whole reward of it. Again, I say that it depends on how you take it, how to maintain these things. As much you be careful, try to maintain it, get the benefit of it, you do the thing like best thing that you keep you away from the sin and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you get it.
You understand what I'm saying? So this is not a small thing that we're doing, but shaitan is in it, he's cunning. Zaydun shaitan amalu, that he will show you dirty actions as clean, and the good, clean, pure actions, he'll demote them. He'll demote them. Otherwise, if the believer knows so valuable kalimat at that time, in that place where Allah Ta'ala prefers, in that time when he recites the kalimat, and these are the rewards he will get, then we would just have massive gathering here in this masjid. There'd be too many people here to get the reward. So much reward I'm getting for this in the morning? Early in the day, and then, but no one's here. So this shows that shaitan, how he works upon the individuals and how he whispers into our ears, into our hearts, negatively influences us. So Hazrat Thanvi Sabrantani, he was Hakim ul-Ummat, physician of the Ummah. MashaAllah, he was a master. So Allah Ta'ala in tasawwuf, in islah, tazkiyah, Allah Ta'ala gave him a high level in upon these points. And such diseases, sicknesses inside, he was the Hakim, the doctor. So one individual, you should question, somebody has a thought, you can discuss with the Shaykh, that this thought's coming in my mind, Hazrat, what shall I do? So an individual, a thought came into the mind of a person, a murid, he said, Hazrat, respected teacher, does it affect me when I recite these kalimat? I don't feel it, the effect of it. Like, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minadh. So let's see what the Shaykh says, the answer. So he said, whether you feel it or don't, but it will affect you. It will affect you. He said, how? And the answer is, he said, how can it be impacting me if I can't feel it? How can it be that I'm not feeling and it's benefiting me? So that, mashallah, he gave an answer. He didn't give the ilmi knowledge proof, because according to the questioner, you have to give the answer like that. Obviously, he was an alim, a scholar, then on ilm, based on technical proof, he would give an answer. But if it's somebody like me, then the sheikh, the teacher, will answer appropriately. So the sheikh has to assess. He sees lots of people, he meets them, he has to deal with them. So he said, okay. he said that you're like a dog. When he said dog to him, he was a respectful person. When he heard that he was being called a dog, then his face went red. His face went red and he felt really bad and negative. And then Hazrat looked at him and said, what's happened to you suddenly? What's happened to you? He said, Hazrat, Sheikh, you said a very dirty word about me, like a bad word. And I felt sad that a dog is a very dirty thing. And you called me a dog. He said, see, I only said to you one word, dog. And that word impacted you so much, your ears, your face all became red. And you started to become angry. Just once I said that word. Yes. And he said, so the kalimat Allah Ta'ala selected and they're so great, will they not impact you then, those kalimat? Those verses? He said, Hazrat Sahib, I accept, I understand now what you're saying. He said, relative, someone swears us, how much it impacts our heart? Doesn't it? Yet a person kills another person or beats them. You swore at my mom, you said this to me. How much a person gets angry? Even though it's nothing, it's just words to ignore. If someone says dog to you, you don't become a dog, do you? Yes, you just ignore it. But the kalimat Allah Ta'ala selected and given to us, they are proof for this fact that they are full of nur and light and the human being is impacted positively. So will that not impact us? Yes, it's Allah's hikmah, wisdom, how He makes it apparent, the improvement, the impact of how much do we gain, how much do we see, how much do we feel, the benefit, mashallah. So this is definite, 100% lazim, necessary, that if Allah gives us the tawfiq ability, Allah Ta'ala says that my greatest treasure I give to that person, that from the lips of that person he recites kalimat and he remembers me. That's the greatest bounty Allah gives to a person, the treasure. My friends, alhamdulillah, we are in the era of fitna. If we do good deeds, even if we're on our own, don't worry, even if you're on your own. That one person, if you're on your own and you follow the sunnah, the whole of that generation, even if they present proof that we're not doing this, what happens, like today we're living in this era, this generation, then you should understand that, no, this is a valuable action that I'm doing. Whatever happens to me, it's a valuable path I'm practicing, no worries. So this is not the measurement, that you can't judge an action that is necessary, that are many people doing or they're not doing it. It's not the case. The time will come, close to Qiyamah, Judgment Day, that people in their masses will reduce practicing and they'll go more towards bad things. And there'll be less people doing the good things. There'll be the era of Dajjal and Fitna. So what we need to see at that time is, alhamdulillah, that we're doing a good deed, a good action, whether there's more people doing it or not, we don't care. We're just thinking, no worries, that, oh, if this action, how many people are sitting, and I'm doing this action, there's only a few people sitting. No, don't assess like that. Assess what is the benefit of what I'm doing. So always that action, adopt it, embrace it, start it, in which it's proven that there's benefit. And whether you see that benefit or not, whether the benefit comes or not, but it said, in the hadith is stated, that action, the individual, doesn't matter whatever niyyah intention you have in your sitting and dhikr of Allah, whichever, however way, you will get up with the benefit for sure, 100% from the dhikr. You won't leave empty-handed from the gathering. That's a guarantee. That's it. So while we recite this kalima, I was thinking in my heart that we should be grateful to Allah, that Allah, you're so great bounty you've given to us, that we're drowsy, eyes are closing, we're tired, the sleep wasn't fulfilled. Allah sent this poor soul here all night long. He was probably doing bad actions, sins, probably phoning girls. He was sat here, looking there. But Allah Ta'ala gave him His mercy. He came and sat in the dhikr. That's it. Then mashallah, his solution has been given to him. Allah has given him the way out. Don't look at your sins, look at the mercy of Allah. Yeah? That's it. Your sins been cleaned, wiped away. So whenever, even with the sins, Allah gives you the ability and you're coming to the majlis, a gathering of dhikr like this, and you know the benefit of the gathering of dhikr and the hadith. For this reason, when the pious elders, the pious predecessors, when they start an action, then that action, they describe it, they do bayan. You know, before dhikr, we have the bayan. The objective is so to strengthen the belief, the faith of those who are doing it. So the virtues are told to you, the glory is told to you, the benefits are told to you. So the person who's come and attended, he understands that I'm not leaving empty-handed. I'm not doing a waste of time activity. Such a great, great action. And he's not doing this. He's a scholar, isn't he? A scholar, he's not sitting here. Maybe the action's better and I won't do this. No. Look at the study, research, what the hadith on this dhikr, what is the Prophet saying? And I'm doing this, and shaitan will come and say, you're sinful, and you did sins all night long, and you did shaitani, satanic actions, evil. You can answer shaitan, but this is the mercy of Allah. This is Allah's mercy. This is the meaning. For example, if a person's drowning, then won't you try to save that person who's drowning? Won't you? Yes, whatever he's done, you say, save him. If you know how to tread the water, if somebody's drowning, there in the water near you, and you know how to tread water, you're swimming, and you can help him, but you stay at the bank of the river, and you're seeing that someone's going down, down in the water, then you must do something to try and help that person. You'll take, throw a rope, you'll call for the lifeguards, please come and help, help him, he's drowning. You'll try to save that person. In the same way, when the human being is going towards Jahannam, hell, and he's the beloved servant of Allah, he's the creation of Allah, and he's going towards Jahannam, hell, then will Allah's mercy not save that person? Do you understand what I'm saying? If a person is drowning, if we can save him in the world, if you see someone going in a fire, you'll try to save that person. Because even if you don't know that person, you don't know what is his belief, his faith, his religion, whatever. But you say, oh, he's drowning, you'll try to save the person. Like, because of, due to humanity, isn't it? We'll try that. So just same way, yes. That's the humanity that's revived inside us. We have the care. So Allah is Rabb, Allah is the Lord. Allah says, I'm your Lord, creator. And that's the, Allah says, I'm Rabbul Alameen. I'm Lord of the universe. Allah has ended the differentiation. He's a disbeliever, Muslim. Allah says that you have the need most of all here. So I won't think here that you believe me or not. Allah says, definitely I'll give food to you. Don't worry about food. Yes. And Allah says, don't think that he's getting food and I'm getting food. What's the difference? He's a disbeliever. I'm a believer. I'm eating. Sometimes the disbeliever is eating much more than you. He's got more money, more assets. Shaitan will come to you and say that. Oh. But Allah says, I give to all of them. Allah's doing many things for them and He's not giving to you anything. Shaitan will say to you, no, look at you, you're not getting nothing. But this is not the standard that Allah's promised to everyone, all human beings Allah will give. Rather, it's a test from Allah that the person who is disobedient and he's a disbeliever, Allah gives him more enjoyment, more food, assets, funds, money, and he's a disbeliever and he disobeys Allah, he commits sins, and his business is flourishing, expanding, his trade, his turnover, his money's increasing, he's got more money in his pocket. There's another person praying salah, practicing deen, he doesn't got no money, and he's got anything. So shaitan then attacks the person, and then he'll make you regret. How? That, but when you will go and learn by sitting in the company of the awliya Allah, you'll learn, then you'll understand the balance, the deen. And many people become disbelievers by losing hope, giving up today. Thousands of people left the deen, we're Muslims, and this is happening to us, the disbelievers are doing this, we're losing out, we're not getting promotion, and waswasa from shaitan impacts them. So Allah says, food, resources, standard of life, lifestyle, this is temporary. Rather, I give more to the disbelievers so that they never come back towards repenting to me, so they run after the dunya more. This is more punishment for the individual who's disobedient to Allah, who's a disbeliever. You'll see they've got more money in their pocket. That's a punishment from Allah. They're enjoying life more because Allah doesn't want to turn them to repentance again. So understand that such an adab, punishment of Allah, has come over this person, that Allah Ta'ala doesn't want this person to come back towards repentance, tawbah. So, and then he is less ill, that person, and he has less problems, he has more enjoyment in the life, and all the ease and the comforts of the world increase for that person. He's happy. He says, oh, but Allah says, this is my adab. Because Allah want to slam the door shut for you so you don't come back to me. Then you know that person's with adab, ongoing. But the believer, those are friends of Allah, the pious people, Allah gives them difficulty. Why? Allah says the difficulty will draw him nearer to me. He will run after me then. He will ask for me. He's got big disease, big sickness, big problem of life. He'll come back. Allah, Allah, please. When he starts asking for me, then Allah says, I will give to that person the solution then. So the real standard for our success is what? For Allah's love is deen. It's not problems, difficulties, illnesses, sicknesses, problems. No, rather the more you or us, the more difficulties come in our life, the more challenges and tests come in our life. When we do more ibadah, Allah says, subhanAllah, this is my servant. This is my believer that it doesn't disturb his deen. And this is the top high class, mashallah, the highest class of believers who passed all the challenges and examinations were the Sahaba Rasul, the noble companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They weren't foolish. They knew how to make money. They knew how to earn wealth, run businesses, technology, modern methods at that time. But Allah Ta'ala tested them. Subhanallah, you cannot compare in history such a group, great people of such stories in the life of the Sahaba, how they stood firm on the deen, alhamdulillah. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Sahaba, they passed this, they demonstrated this to us. So these are all whispers of shaitan. If you have problems, don't worry. Keep on practicing. Doing good deeds, strengthen your aqidah, your belief, your faith in the hadith. The hadith tells us that the rewards for this action, you're doing this action, they definitely will come the rewards. So the biggest test for a human being, a believer, is poverty, hunger, problems, difficulties, tragedies, sicknesses. This is nothing. These are not problems for us. They're just little bumps in the road. That's not the standard of success or failure. The biggest problem is if in our homes there's no salah. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said that that house is destroyed if there's no salah in there. That's the basis. That's the criteria. That's what we need to see. If they're young boys, girls in the house, if they're not praying salah, then that's the end. Destruction. And they're running businesses and the son's got degrees, they've got money. But spiritually they are destroyed. The house is destroyed. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said that I want to put this house on fire. That's it. The house is on fire. Yeah? And that person will be dragged straight into hell. So that's the standard of failure and success for us. But we should have worry for this. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is the standard we need to make our lives. That those actions, we should not be lazy in those actions for which there are real punishments. Yes. That won't be asked to us in the hereafter, you got money, food, why didn't you have money? That's nothing to worry about. Allah Ta'ala says, I'll provide for you. Don't worry about that. Did your Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, wasn't he hungry in his life? When the Sahaba hungry, without food, clothes, Allah says, it's my choice, I want to keep you hungry. Yes? Or without resources. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Allah says, when I want to give to you, then Allah says, when I want to give, I can give you so much from such angles and avenues. I'll give you rizq, wealth that you cannot imagine. I'll give you that food that you cannot imagine. Such a dish will come to you. Delicacies will come to you. Understand what I'm saying? So this is our standard. It's not dunya. The standard is Allah has given me the ability to do dhikr. And the story Allah says, the greatest reward, even the king of the kings you have become now. You're remembering me, Allah says. All the kingdoms, lands, nothing is that for us in the worldly kingdoms and lands and leadership. Because I will die, he will die. And suddenly then he will go lose. But the angels are coming to me, give me good news and good fragrance they have. And they've got the seats and the thrones they're showing to us. But for that sinful person, the chains are coming. The king is being shackled and dragged like a dog. So there's no difference. Within a second you'll see the difference when we pass away. So who will be more happy? Today a Muslim, me, you. Allah's given us the tawfiq ability that we've come here. Do you understand tawfiq? I said to you a few days ago in the bayan that Allah has given us the ability, the strength. Allah has created the environment that He's allowed us to practice. Even if we sinned or not, may it not be that Allah Ta'ala allowed that we sinned or not, maybe. But even if we commit a sin, never stop from doing a good deed. Carry on. Carry on. They say, oh, I've done so many sins, I've done zina, adultery. Then think that, let me pray 2 rakah salah, then pray it. Shaitan will say, what's the point? You just did zina, adultery, you're praying salah. You say, that was a different time, but now this is a different time. Yes, Allah's mercy, I'm hopeful that this waswasa, Allah's instilling in my heart a desire to do good deed, then most definitely He will forgive me. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, by after doing good sins, bad actions, evil actions, don't stop for doing good deeds after, if Allah gives you an opportunity. If a good, positive thought is coming to your mind after doing a big sin, then do that good deed. Carry on, immediately do that good deed. Yes, even though if negative thoughts are coming 100 times, say don't do it. Say no, subhanallah. No. If your thought comes, say subhanallah. Just say it, say. And the shaitan says, you're impure. You're a sinner. Say, it doesn't matter if I'm impure inside, but I'm going to do the good deed. Such people, I've seen them. Allah Ta'ala's qurb nearness, high level wali Allah, I've seen them become. Within moments. That even despite the fact that they did sins, they remembered Allah. Even though they were in the satanic influence, they said, no, let me remember Allah. It doesn't matter. I did dirty, evil actions during the night. But at least let me go and sit in dhikr. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. So don't go down. Never stop. If good thoughts come, positive inclinations come, do the action. Embrace it. Immediately do the action. Don't delay it. Maybe that will vanish from your mind and disappear. Then you won't want to do it after this. Grab it at that time. Catch it. Hazrat Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah, he gave the example of this as well. That with him, there was a person going with him. Hazrat Shafi, Mufti Shafi Sahib, I think. Mulana Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah was with him, I think. And they used to walk out. And he said, I started walking with my sheikh, my teacher. And he said, I had the sohbah, the company, that if he stops, I'll stop. If he walks, I'll walk. So he started walking. Then he saw after a little while, he took a pencil out, he took the paper out, and he started to write something in the book. Hazrat Thanvi Sahib went there while he was walking. Then he started walking again, continued. And then whilst he was walking, he stopped again, he took his book out, diary and the pen, and he jotted down something. So when the walk finished, and Mufti Shafi Sahib said, Hazrat, my Sheikh, I want you to know what you were doing. You were walking, you stopped, then you took the pen and paper, you wrote something down. He said, Shafi, what I was doing, this is my habit I've made, that because in the human being, his thoughts, they are in the control of Allah. So when you have good thoughts, Allah creates good thoughts, positive thoughts, and maybe negative thoughts come in the mind. Shaitan influences us. So when good thoughts come in my heart, in my mind, I should do this, I should do this, then immediately I write it down at that time. Subhanallah, I record it. Imagine what a great wali Allah he was already. And we could say, oh, this is a minor thing. Oh, I've got big book. He could have said, I've done dars, so I've written a book. He said, these small good deeds, inclination that came in my heart, may not be, I forget. So immediately I write this down. He didn't say, oh, I've written big kitabs, I don't need to. But do we do this? No. We should do this. So this is how Allah, when Allah's ni'mas, bounties, when a person appreciates that, values that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates his status, his rank. So today if we're nothing, tomorrow we're nothing, but we can become better, better, improve. My brothers, colleagues, two things we have understood today. When Allah gives the ability, tawfiq, creates the environment for us to do an action, then should judge it, that what are the rewards for this action? And whether you're feeding it or not, you are receiving those benefits. Second point we've learned today is that action, that even if you're the only one in the world to implement action, or even if there's a small amount of people, that just a few people have come in, if you look on the other hand, that there are people high status, money, wealth, power in the world, they're not doing this action, never go towards depression. And I am right, you should say, don't look at quantity of people, go towards the quality of the action that I'm doing. That what? How heavy is that? The example of that, I'll give you the sunnah. Imama, the blessed turban, is a great sunnah, big ulama, scholars, they don't wear imama. Scholars, but such people who are maybe illiterate, they have no knowledge, no technical knowledge, etc. They sit in the company of the sheikh and they start practicing and wearing the imam ashari. Understand what I'm saying? So what's the difference here? The difference here is that alhamdulillah, there are less people wearing imama, and then other people mock you. Why are you wearing this imama? It's not necessary. Learned people with knowledge. Yes, one person. He said about the sunnah. He said, why are you doing this? That this sunnah is a waste of time. He said, this is not even sunnah. Astaghfirullah. So, it's a very severe way that shaitan grabbed on me. This is not sunnah still. He said that imama is not sunnah, a person said to me. And in the minbar, a learned person. And by chance it happened that the next day, a very great from India alim, as a Shaykhul Hadith he was, so he came and he took bayah with me, pledged allegiance to me. And Allah Ta'ala, see how he saves the people. So when he took bayah with me, the first question I asked him, I said, Hazrat, that tell me that he didn't know. You know that I said, is imama sunnah? He said, it's sunnah, that's why I'm wearing it, bhai. He said, it's sunnah. So now if you tell me that in such a way shaitan, when he starts to eliminate an action and make an action insignificant in the minds of people, do you understand what I'm saying? So don't think that I'm minor, I don't have learning or knowledge, what am I doing? But rather look at how great is this action. Judge it. What is the rank and status of this action? And they say, this is Allah's fadl and grace and mercy that He selected me to do this. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, so this is the amal, the actions, and bring them into your life. And be millions of times over grateful that Allah has given me the tawfiq, that we haven't come to the waswas of people who have followed their words and we've given a sacrifice. Allah says, that's Allah says, man nahaya sunnati inda fasad al-umati. Hadith, how much reward? Mi'atu shaheed, 100 martyrs reward for following the sunnah. At that time, people will mock and joke and jest against the good deeds, and they will criticize the sunnah deeds and Islamic deeds, and there will be such people that the dajjal fitan will have overcome, that they'll have ilm, knowledge, they'll have studied kitabs. And they will fall prey to the misconception. So in that era, that believer who follows my one sunnah, said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who follows my one sunnah, and he rejects all those people who are criticizing him and opposing him, and it doesn't matter who comes in, he says, no, I'm going to implement the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He stands firm. He stated 100 shaheed thawab, immediately he will get that time. 100 martyrs reward, sahih hadith, authentic. 100 shaheed. Wallah, Allah says, Allah says, don't say that they are alive. that what do you know what is life? That how great martyrs they are. The martyr, those who follow the method of my Nabi, the Sunnah, there will come a time, the Holy Prophet said that such an era will come to follow my Sunnah. Just like you take the hot burning ember coal, if you have the fire in your hand, the hot burning coal, how difficult it is. It's difficult, hard, isn't it? And the Prophet said, that's how difficult it will be to follow my Sunnah. So, can you go to work wearing the Sunnah? But people go, mashallah, with the Imam, Sunnah, Libas. I've seen people, they're working in, mashallah, amongst the people who have no Iman, disbelievers. But he's going with his Islamic dress, Islamic Libas, attire. And he's sitting in a meeting, in a high level post. He's got meetings, discussions. He doesn't take off his Imam, his clothes. Why? Why should I change my clothes, he says? Why? Change will be by that person who thinks I'm wrong. He will change the clothes if he sees he's wrong. That person who's changing his attire, his libas, his appearance, he's not got the strength. He's accepting, oh, this is not right. I don't need to do this. The other way is better. No. The person who gets scared, Allah says, then what is your iman? What's your belief inside you? If you're scared, you're failing, you're afraid of people. If you practice the deen, the sunnah, then do it. Let them laugh at you. Let them mock you. But your yaqeen, where's that gone? Where's your belief gone? Where's your faith gone? Why don't you practice that? So right now, why have you taken the clothes off? You're scared of that person. Scared of that person. Oh, my job will go. Allah says that I am the one who gives jobs and money and salary. That means you don't have belief in your Lord, in Allah. I am Rabbul. You call me Rabbul Alameen. You call me Lord of the universe. And you're scared of practicing the deen and you leave the deen because of dunya. Okay, if there's another reason, you got a job, there's something. But leaving the libas, the attire, by being scared, then that, oh, that I'm going to get a loss in the world, or my turnover will just know, with Allah's help, no one can give us loss. Nobody can give us loss. So, with this fear to leave the sunnah, that's the weakness of the mouth. Okay, if there's other circumstances, for example, you're not practicing because you don't have the understanding, that's different. But if this point comes to your life, that you are leaving the sunnah because you got fear in your mind and heart that if I follow the sunnah and I'm afraid because this will happen in the world, then say, no, I'm going to do it. Let's see what happens. Yes, pull yourself together. Okay, let me practice the sunnah. Let me follow the sharia. Let's see what happens. When I was on my own, when I started practicing the sunnah, I'm telling you that when I went to the Arndale Center and I stood at my shop, and my whole shop, I was the one person in the whole marketplace who was wearing the sunnah libas with the imam, and I was running the business at that time. Subhanallah. Yes, and you, that 70 years ago, decades ago, show me now, can you do that? Yes, one person came to me and said, that what business shall I run at that time? I said, business what you do, wear your shalwar kameez and start selling that, and imamas. And today he's got the biggest shop. I won't say his name. Everyone will start going there and they'll think that I'm doing his publicity. Subhanallah, he said, Hazrat, shall I do that? He was hungry. Poverty, no earnings. He tried this job. I said, leave all those things, madman. I said, mashallah, the action I'm doing, you do that practically. And mashallah, that's where you'll get the result. So, mashallah, that the people, if you're scared of wear the libas, they'll grumble at me. How can I sell this? He said, the sunnah libas. How can I sell this? And today the situation is that, mashallah, his sale turnover doesn't reduce. Mashallah, he's well known today. Whenever Eid comes, his shop is full. People run to him. You buy everything from there. Islamic clothes as well. You can get from him. Ask him. Ask him, who did this? Who said this? So why did I do this? Not this. That I'm scared. That behind that, there's the push, the encouragement. The why am I mad? But Allah says, I could, for example, I could be like a Western person. I was like a monkey, you could say. Not practicing. What happened? Why did I start this practice and following the Sunnah, Sharia? That when I didn't practice like this in Pakistan, I had a Western lifestyle. Why did I do this? How did the determination come? That behind me, there's the hand, the tap of my sheikh. My sheikh, his push, his encouragement was behind all of this. Wallahi, his encouragement, his teaching, encouragement. Otherwise, how could I do this? He said, Go there to that land, wherever you're sending me, to that place where Musa alayhi salam was sent to Fir'aun by Allah. And he was sent into that cauldron. So Allah was, Hazrat Sahib sent me that, go and do tabliq. No, he said, no. That I was in opposition. And there was opposition that I got to that extent, that people go against you. The severity, I got to that extent. That the people go extremely against you and discourage you. But this will be your test, that will you get scared and leave the deen, or will you carry on with the deen? Allah tests. Yes, but I didn't take my clothes off where I went. I didn't take my libas off. So, there's a power, strength behind the sheikh, his encouragement. Go, do two actions. That said, no third action. I said, gee, what, sheikh, what shall I do? So, Malay said, teach dhikrullah and sunnah of Rasulullah, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And these are the two things that the Prophet ﷺ left with the ummah. There's no third action you will do, Shaykh said. I said, okay, my teacher. So if a person does that, implements that, he practices himself first. Yes, if I give speeches and lectures and I don't do those actions, people say he's mad. He's not doing himself. Yes, and today that's our tabligh. That for hour we do tabligh, we talk, but we don't practice of do this, sunnah is a great action, sunnah is this, sunnah is that. But there's no sunnah in our lives. No physically demonstration. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Yeah, so tabligh today, that's why it's not having an effect. Listen, look at the tabligh. The tabligh is this, that if you're teaching Quran, that's tabligh. If you're teaching hadith, this is tabligh. All of this is tabligh. Propagating the thing, not just one way, one method. Start reciting this kitab and that's tabligh. And ta'lim, do ta'lim. Everything is ta'lim. What I'm saying now, this is ta'lim. Is this not education? Is this not learning? Ta'lim. Not just that you take one kitab or a particular specific special kitab, you just open that and sit and then that, you read that kitab and this is ta'lim. No, what else is that? That alim sahab, the scholar, when he's teaching hadith, darsul hadith, that's ta'lim as well. Yes, yes, this is ta'lim. I'm speaking now, is this not ta'lim? Education? The old people are listening, women, men, all around the world, and think how many people change today. So is this not ta'lim, education, learning? So don't just restrict the deen to just one way. Ta'lim, learning, teaching is such a vast field, such a vast field. Tabligh, spreading the deen, there's no bank, there's no upper limit. All is so vast, don't restrict it. Am I right? Or am I wrong? Yes, so it's a big field, spreading the deen, Islam. This is the part of the deen. That when tabligh stops, then the deen will stop. Yes, the final prophet, the last prophet, that even when Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will come again, he will come to do tabligh, propagate Islam, to spread the deen, he will come. That will be his mission. Yes, that if you just read one kitab, one book, and you do the education, you think that this is ta'lim and there's no other ta'lim. No, my friends, this is just waswasa, shaitan, he influences us, makes groups, sects. And he's made firqas, groups, sects. Anyway, so what was I saying to you previously? It was a very good point that came to my mind. I said to you that, for example, the Hazrat Tanvi Sahib, you'd stop, write the words. If I had a book, I could write that down before I came. Beautiful point. You can't even share with me what I said. You are sleeping, I think as well, drowsy. What was I saying? So I was talking about the sunnah. Before that, what was I saying? Tell me, do you remember what I was saying? Then talk then if you can remember what I was saying. What was I saying to you? No, nobody remembers. Yes? Yes, mashallah. At least Mawlana Sahib, mashallah, he's remembered. Eh? He's useful. That's why I say, sit in the front, Mawlana Sahib, say in front of me. So, my Sheikh, he said to me, that as soon as I got off the plane, the first action I did was this, and I was the first one to receive the mockery and the criticism, the swears. I wore the Islamic libas and I threw everything else away. And here, if I didn't get the clothes to wear shalwar kameez, if I don't find it, if I don't get to thawb, I'm telling the truth. So it was hard for me, difficult for me to find shalwar kameez. Would I find that? There was one very old shalwar kameez. I don't know who gave me that as a gift. It was old clothing. Maybe I used that when I was sleeping. So the next day there was a big wedding. I was invited there. And there was high class people of the dunya there, the wedding. They invited me. Look how the test comes, the test. So they invited me to the wedding there. And there the people would tie suit and bow ties, majlis. And this fakir got there, I was wearing an old shalwar, a kameez and imama. When I went there, they said, this fakir, this poor man's come. They said, this is Farooqi Sahib, he's coming. They said, huh? They all looking at me, started to look at me. My libasic parents, they look at me in such a way that some weird, maybe type of human beings come here, or alien and foreign, sort of. And imagine the test for me, I was sweating, women are laughing, children laughing, men all laughing. What's he doing? What's he wearing? What's become of him? What's he become? But when I went there, and that majlis to sit there, and I presented myself like this with the libas, nobody stopped me. They said, go. They didn't say that. They said, please go, you are spoiling this environment. This is tabligh. This is spreading deen. If I became disheartened that day, then how many people today were sitting in front of me? How would we achieve this? How many people are wearing imamah today? How did we achieve this result? So everything Allah Ta'ala puts you in a test and an exam, and it takes time. It takes time to get the fruits of your endeavors, your efforts. The tree doesn't give you the fruit straight away, does it? You plant the tree, the seed will grow, expand, grow. Then you'll get the fruits. Yes, but if in between you just stop and you become rotten and fall, no, become a tree, become firm, solid, and it will definitely will spread and will give the fruits. That's the bleak propagation. Your amal, your actions will spread. Speak less and do more. Tabligh, you spread the deen through actions, not through speaking. Through actions, it's through your demonstration, your akhlaq, your manners. What ilm did I have? What manners did I have? What hadith did I have? What Quran did I know? No, practically I demonstrated. And automatically from the mouths of people I heard, from Muslims, imagine this. That one event I'll share with you, not this, for learning. So in the Arndale Center, when I got the shop with this libas clothes, they said, oh, how can you stand in the shop? English people come. The English people, forget that the Muslims used to laugh at me. Probably the disbelievers didn't laugh at me. The Muslims laughed at me. My shop, that there was a shop, and they used to go, they wouldn't come to my shop. They go to next door to the disbeliever, they wouldn't come. The Muslims wouldn't come to me to buy. They say, what? That he's disrespecting us. He's dishonoring us. Astaghfirullah. The Muslims wouldn't come and buy from me because they were embarrassed of me. They wouldn't come to my shop to buy. But now see, but how Allah gives strength of Iman. So I went to get tea, the stall. You know, you have like the tea stall, the catering stall. There was a woman there serving, an English woman. She was a girl. And she would see me and she would make tea and give it to me. She made tea and gave it to me, and I took the tea and I went back to my stall. And after a little while, I saw that young girl, that woman, she came to my stall. And she came and stood there. I'm telling you a true story now, true story. And subhanAllah, that Allah, when He wants to boost, when Allah wants somebody to do tabligh, then Allah strengthens His iman. So when I saw that no one's coming to me, they're hating me, they said they're embarrassed with me, astaghfirullah. The Muslim said, oh, he's disrespecting us, he's degrading us. What will people say? Look at his libas. Parents, you know, they said, what will people say? What will people say? That's why we take our libas off. Our daughters who are naked in magistrate, what would people say that if I don't wear the jeans today, if I wear hijab, what would people say? They'll laugh at me. And she's an alima, she's a scholar, and she's going in the non-Islamic libas outside. Is that ilm? Is that knowledge? So, when she came to me, the young woman, I thought maybe I forgot to pay her, she's come to give me change, what's happened? And she said, don't worry, I want to speak to you about something. I said, yeah? And unique conversation that happened at that place. She was a disbeliever, externally sinful, maybe dirty. I don't know what you think about it. But she said when she came, she said, can I share something with you? I thought. I said, yes, definitely. Yeah, of course. She said, can I sit down? I said, yes, sit down. And she had an interesting point she said I want to make. She said that I saw you and didn't you notice? And she said, yeah. She said, I've seen you a few times when you're taking tea or making tea for you, and noticed you, she said. And she said, sometimes, I said, why? You said, and these are her words. She said that, because when I see you, I see different things in your personality, in your mouth, in your face, in your appearance, in the thing that you have, your appearance. I used to wear a mama. And she said, I sat straight. I said, oh, may she come here to spy? Or because, you know, when I've seen all the issues, in ups and downs, I thought, she a spy? She come in to mock? I said, well, what are you seeing? I said, this is our libas, our dress, is Islamic attire. She said, no, don't worry about that. She said, you know, once I saw a dream, she said to me, I saw Jesus coming in my dream. Who did she see? Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, she said. And she said, that maqam, Isa alayhi salam. She said, when I saw Jesus, he exactly the same appearance of the light was coming from him, that same nur. The light was coming from him, Jesus. And from here, I got determination to do tabligh, and I got encouragement. She said, I saw the same light, nur, in Jesus, same face, same appearance. That's why I'm looking at you again and again to compare with that dream I saw. I said, tell me, explain. She said, what is this nur, this light? What is your religion? What's your faith? SubhanAllah. So I said, now mashallah, the right fish has come here. I said, sit down. And the Quran I'd have with me. And then I said to you, I said, are you in the break? She said, yeah. I said, okay, sit down. Then I'll tell you what the Quran says about Jesus. And we believe in Jesus. And why do you see the glimpse and the glance? You know the glimpse of the nur? Why do you see that, the light and the glimpse and my personality? I explained to her. Then obviously, in my style, according to my understanding, the Quran, the verse, I spoke to her, I explained to her, And then what happened next? Do you know what happened next? Then the next day she came to me. She said, can I have this book, the Quran that you are reading? I said, yes, definitely. Take this, a translation of the Quran. I had that in my pocket. I was ready, prepared, just like now. Whoever comes, I give imama, tasbih, blessed turban, go. And you're graduated. This is what I do now, day and night. Whoever comes, imama. I look behind, Ubaidallah ji, bring. He knows what I'm asking. He knows. And in advance, he's got in his pocket everything. MashaAllah, Ubaidallah sahab, Mohsin sahab, MashaAllah, they're trained. Mohsin sahab, Ubaidallah, MashaAllah, they're trained. There was young Ubaidallah when he came, and now he looks like old man to you, Ubaidallah, very old student of mine, Ubaidallah sahab, MashaAllah. Life he is spent on the deen, MashaAllah. Trained, and I see, and when I turn around, he understands what's coming. He says, there are three things I give, tasbih, imama, and these things. This is my shaykh said to me, until today, this is the work of the deen I'm doing. You understand what I'm saying? So, I said, there's this book, MashaAllah, already I've got this. I said to her, and I don't know what happened after that. And she came. I said, I want to become a Muslim. SubhanAllah. I don't want to disclose, because she said, I don't want to share with other people who's my family. They're against. I said, don't worry about your family, whether you disclose or not. Don't tell anyone. It's between you and Allah. You're Muslim. She said, I'm a Muslim now. That's it. She became Muslim. Who did all of this? My Shaykh gave me encouragement. Don't leave the Sunnah. Don't leave the Sunnah. Sunnah will spread the deen, my Shaykh told me. The Sunnah will spread the deen. Understand what I'm saying? Yes. So my brothers, colleagues, I don't know how, what Allah Ta'ala, work of the deen, He wants you to do. Well, I will send you, spread you. Allah has given you two weapons, tools, dhikrullah, sunnah Rasulullah, the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Do the work of the deen. This is life, not making money. Always worried, dunya, my shop, turnover, visa, this and that. No, that's all become dust and soil. The real work, do the work of the deen. Whatever comes to you, do dawah, sunnah, my shaykh, come to my shaykh, learn dhikr, learn the name of Allah. Me and you is just to guide people, that's our work. Allah said to His Nabi, how can you give guidance? You do your work on my Prophet, and don't stop doing work. Don't think that nobody will get guidance. Allah said that, isn't it? To Imamul Anbiya, Allah said to the head of the Prophet, that you tell the people, and it's me who will change their hearts. It's not my job. Don't be disheartened out there. Don't become believers. 2-3 hours if I do tabligh, he says, I'll have a think about it. I'll think about it. Don't be disheartened. I don't get disheartened. My job, I fulfill my duty. If it's not in his fortune, his destiny to get tawfiq, that's Allah Ta'ala's choice. So me, it's my duty. If people come to me, I've done my job, I've done my task, my work, I explain to them. So that's why Allah Ta'ala selected you, given you deen, and understanding the amount you can do, tabligh, propagate. Then whether it's white, black, English person, just learn dhikr, my friend. Yes, and tell people more. Today the Muslim, it's very hard to make a Muslim a Muslim today. To make a disbeliever a Muslim is easy. Just give two proofs. Just two proofs you have to give to them. Yes, I'm doing this work of the deen. Just two proofs you give to the disbeliever. But the believer, Muslim already, Quran, Hadith, you can read it all day long. But in his house, in his family, in his life, in his children, the change won't come. They'll do hifz, they'll memorize Quran, they'll do things. But there's no amal in their lives. There's no practice in their lives. Make them the alima, scholar, make them the hifz, make them imam. But that girl, she will go out without parda. She will, and he will wear imam, have the beard. But he won't teach his children. Because today, to make the Muslim is the biggest difficulty. The murtad, the punishment of the murtad, the one who reneges, is a big punishment. You understand? The rebellious person. So, the make the Muslim today. Give dawah to the believers, already give them tawajjuh. Don't give this attention to those who are disbelievers too much. They will come to the deen, if they need to, if they want to. Yes, it'll be easier for them. But your job, if you leave and you're doing dhikr, you have a friend, a relative, we're scared, tell them. Why are we scared? If I say to him, he'll say this to me, maybe you'll get the mockery, you'll swear, you'll say, oh, why are you telling me this deen? And if they mock you, swear them. No, don't be disheartened. Give them the message. Dawah. That, look, let me take this person to Hazrat Sahib. And they'll learn dhikr from me, isn't it? So they can be improved. I was like this. Give your example to them. Give your example to them. Yes, give them example of your home, family, my children. Look how my life improved. And if me and you die, where will you go? Will I go? If we both die. It says in your grave, no one will recognize you. You shaved your beard, trimmed your beard. They will say the angels, they will punish him. He's not even in the ummah. He's not a member of the ummah. He's not got a beard on his face. This will happen in the grave. They'll say that I've come. The angels will say we've come to the wrong grave. Is he a believer? Yes, they'll say that to that person who's in there. That because the angel cannot fall into deception. This is a wrong grave. He doesn't look like he's in the ummah, a Muslim. So why are we asking him a question when he doesn't look like a Muslim? They'll ask us the questions. Who is this person? They will ask us, Man Rabbukum? They'll look, say, who is this Rasul? Who is your Prophet? They'll say, Hada Rijal. They'll show us a picture, a vision of the Prophet. And the angel said that if he hasn't got a face of a Muslim appearance, he doesn't look like he's a Muslim in the Ummah. So today, a person who shaves his beard, that's what will happen to him in the grave. A person who cuts his beard, he will get punishment. If you say to him, keep the beard, he'll say, I'll die even if my neck is slain, I won't keep the beard. He'll do Umrah, Hajj. He'll allow his neck to be slain. But every year he'll go on Umrah. Every year in Ramadan, he'll go on Umrah, do itikaf. But in his house, the women won't observe parda, hijab. There'll be no segregation. The daughter will do that, and then they'll celebrate on their lewdness. And then when they do a wrong action, the sons and daughters, then we celebrate them. We have parties and give food to people. And we say we're Muslims. Allah Ta'ala says, no. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَا يَقُولُ أَمْنَا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ Allah says, this is the believers, is it? They recite kalama, read Quran, I'm hafiz. This is not the proof of iman. The sign of iman is not this. The sign of iman is that you're practicing La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. You're practicing that statement. Allah's laws, instructions, I believe and I follow the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Sunnah. That is the physical implementation of the kalima. Am I right or am I wrong, tell me? Yes. So we must assess our iman, measure it. The what practice am I doing? What am I doing, my brothers? The little bit of belief. Tell people, don't be scared. Spread the deen. The brother, sister, just talk about dhikr. Don't talk about bid or sunnah, because there's a disease, sickness inside that person. How will they practice? First, take them to the doctor. That here's the patient. Then leave the patient to the doctor. Doctor knows best, and the patient knows best. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Yes. So this is called tabligh, propagating, spreading the thing. One person, if you, mashallah, make him a Muslim. I'm talking about Muslims, bring them towards deen. If a person who's already a Muslim, you bring him towards the deen, then the half of the ummah, you'll make them the Muslims. Half of the ummah. 10,000 that are kafir. For example, if you make one Muslim, compared to 10,000 people disbelievers, a Muslim is better because they know and they're still not practicing. You get more reward. You save that person. The many human beings will be saved. His household will be saved. Don't give me a fatwa wrong, Mulana Sahab, from what I've just said now. Don't give me a fatwa. This is the case though, isn't it? Look, you can see that. Okay. And anyway, mashallah, today was a very great dars discussion. MashaAllah, from my thoughts, I go to other points. We were reciting La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minadh dhalimeen. And the effects of that are impacting us. I started speaking about that, and then I've took you towards the bleak in the discussion. MashaAllah, recite Durood Sharif now. Close your eyes, do muraqabah meditation, and take the fares of the Naqshbandi order. For the sake of our Naqshbandi mashayikh in your heart, clean your heart, clean, empty your heart of thoughts on the rhythm and sound of the dhikr beads. Ask Allah for the sake of all the mashayikh of the Naqshbandi order. Say Allah's name and do dhikr of Allah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.